Bible. A deeper dive into the books of the Bible.
Greetings and welcome to Pondering the Bible. I'm your co-host, Ken Corkins, and with me, as always, is my longtime friend and pastor, Rocky Ellison.
Hello.
You're trying to throw me off, man. You're blowing my rhythm here, pal. All right. This is season 10, episode 15. And as always, we pray that we're sponsored by the Holy Spirit. How you doing, Smarty?
There's a radio station that I listen to. It's a talk station. And when somebody says something a little controversial, the others will just lay out, they call it. They just and they'll let the air go dead for several minutes, trying to force the other guy to talk.
You go first. Yeah. I gave you the deer in the headlights look like, what are you doing, Rocky? You're supposed to say your thing now. That's funny. All right. So Rocky's in a good mood tonight.
Yeah. All
right. Ken's tired, so he got a little blown away by that. All right. So last week in our episode, we were at the Pool of Bethesda. The man who had been laying there for many years, 30-something years, Jesus walked up and asked, do you want to be healed? And we decided that the question was not a physical question. It was a spiritual/sin question. Do you want to have your sins forgiven?
Yeah.
The man said yes. Jesus slips away. The man doesn't know who healed him, but the authorities, the Pharisees, confront him about sinning by working on the Sabbath, by carrying his mat. He later finds Jesus. He tells the Pharisees that it was Jesus that had healed him in a rejoicing and good way, not a blaming way, right?
Right.
So now we're going to pick up in John chapter 5, continuing the story.
Right.
And we're covering what?
Verses 16 through 24, I'll be reading from the NLT. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, my Father is always working, and so am I. So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge, so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life.
Amen. Okay. So yeah, we're continuing this story here.
Yes.
Let's jump in verses 16 and 17.
Perfect.
16. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. 17. But Jesus replied, my Father is always working, and so am I. So what's Jesus saying here? What's he trying to tell us?
You know, ours says they begin harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. More technical translations say for these violations, and it's plural. Mm. And John is intentionally making it plural. This isn't the only time during this visit to the temple that Jesus does something which comes into conflict with man's interpretation of proper Sabbath behavior. Apparently, he's been all over the temple doing these little Sabbath violations.
Just a troublemaker.
Jesus is poking the bear, you know? And he's going to, in a moment here, he's going to say, you know, my Father is always working on the Sabbath, and so am I. He's going to accuse God of breaking his own rules. God right. is working on the Sabbath. And so it's okay for me to work on the Sabbath because I am his son. And Jesus uses that in a way that implies I am equal to God. I am deity. He's really coming out full-blown aggressive here in chapter 5 of John. And that was an issue that in fact, a lot of people were wrestling with at this time. Four rabbis were called into Rome to approach and talk to the emperor, who says, you Jews won't work on the Sabbath. We're really tired of this. You're messing up everybody's workflow. Why don't you work on the Sabbath? And the Jews said, well, because God rests on the Sabbath, and so we have to rest on the Sabbath. And the emperor says, doesn't your God bring the sun up? And they're like, yes, he does. Sun comes up on a Sabbath, doesn't it? yes, it does. Well, then your God works on the Sabbath. You ought to be working on the Sabbath. You ought to be laying bricks and
hauling wood.
Yes. And so the four rabbis get together and they talk amongst themselves and they come back with this answer. In Judaism, we have decided that whatever you work, you do inside your own home is okay. Because that's not to make money. That's just for you. Although we have limited, you can't lift anything above your head. That's a violation of Sabbath working. And so is God in his own domain? Well, since the entire universe belongs to God, yes, he's in his house. And has God lifted anything over his head? Well, God is infinitely tall. So no, he didn't lift anything over his head. So no, actually, God doesn't work on the Sabbath, even though the sun still comes up. We don't die because our breath fails to come without the Spirit of God inside us.
Right.
And they generated this whole deal on, so go, God doesn't work on the Sabbath. Jesus and most of the other Pharisees at this time will come to the conclusion, on the seventh day, God rested from creation. He
right.
was done making things. But we breathe because God breathes life into us. We love because God loved us first. And those things still happen on the Sabbath. God brings the sun up. Babies are born on the Sabbath. So clearly God's care and his love for mankind continues on the Sabbath, even if that's work. And Jesus will say, and that's all I'm doing. I'm loving and caring for mankind.
Very good. Yeah, because, I mean, it was God who established the Sabbath.
Right.
Right? And so you can't go against that. And that's one of the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Right? So, but it was a little more, how should I say, loosely defined to basically mean take a day off.
Yeah.
You know, don't go to the office, make money,
yeah.
charge people, you know, all those kind of things. Take a day of rest to recoup. And it actually, we've seen, you know, even today, you do need to take some time off for yourself, you know.
Yes.
It really does.
Yeah.
It helps you to get along.
Yes.
So it doesn't mean sit there and do nothing all day long.
Exactly.
You got to eat.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, then moving on, verse 18. So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him, for he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his father, thereby making himself equal with God. Okay. I think, like you just said, Jesus might be poking the bear here.
My advice?
Don't poke the bear.
We saw a lot of that in other gospels. We see it here in John.
Yep.
He's deliberately trying to invoke a response from the Pharisees because he thinks they're wrong.
Right, right. And you see this coming a lot earlier in John than it does in the Synoptic Gospels. And you wonder, you know, why does John, you know, he's moved things out of order on purpose. Why is he presenting this aggressive and confrontational Jesus so early in a 21 chapter book? Why is it showing up in chapter 5? Remember that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are written between 60 and 65 AD. Jesus has been dead for 30 years. Technically, Christianity is an illegal religion, but nobody's really hunting them down at this point. If you don't call great attention to yourself, pretty much the Roman government is willing to live and let live. Just, you know, don't make it obvious that you're having church and we won't bug you.
Okay.
Guys. The Gospel of John is written in the year 90. The Romans have destroyed the city of Jerusalem. And what they've left two Roman legions parked in Jerusalem so the Jews can't rebuild the city of Jerusalem. The Holy Temple is gone. And now Christianity is at the forefront of religions that we are hunting down and persecuting. Bring everybody to the town square, everyone, and make them get down on one knee and swear allegiance to the Lord God, the Emperor.
Right.
And of course, Christians won't do that. Now we know who to throw into the Colosseum to fight against bears and other lions, wild animals.
Right,
yeah. That's John's audience. And so when he writes his gospel, there's a lot of people that are going, was I smart?
Yeah. Did I make a really bad choice by proclaiming myself for Christ?
You know, and I'd go ask other apostles, but they're all dead.
Right. I'm the only one remaining.
Yeah. And so, you know, people are starting to seriously question, what did I get into when I gave my life to Christ? Because I committed wholeheartedly and Jesus hasn't come back yet. We thought he was going to be back by now to save us.
Right.
And so John presents a much more powerful, a much more masculine and a much more confrontational Jesus way earlier in his gospel to give us, you know, life can be bad. Look how bad it was for Jesus. And Jesus bowed up and stood up against guys who wouldn't understand the Sabbath and who weren't taking care of the weak and the suffering. But our Jesus did, and he's going to do that for us too.
Okay. So yeah, he's kind of showing us, yeah, times are tough, but it's been tough for a long time.
Yeah.
And so in more ways than one, follow the example of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to confront the accuser, if you will.
Yes.
All right. Then moving on 19 through 20. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you'll be truly astonished. Okay. He's still kind of rubbing it into their face, isn't he?
Here. Yes. Okay. Yeah. He is deliberately, he just upped it a whole nother level. You know, this is even bigger than, why, yes, I work on the Sabbath.
Right.
even bigger than that is Jesus talks about my Father and I'm the Son and we have this special relationship. And the words he uses in the Greek, this is not Abba. This is not calling the Father daddy.
Right.
But the words that he used here implies exclusively my Father. I'm talking about God is my dad. He's not just, you know, we refer to him as the Father of Israel, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I'm claiming an even closer relationship with him. Yes, I am claiming I am God. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 5, Jesus announces his deity. And that, you could just see the religious authorities like, oh, what did you just say?
Yeah, that's blasphemy there, my friend.
Yeah. There is no messianic secret in the Gospel of John. In the other three, we watch, you know, Jesus do special things and that clearly indicate he is God. And then he will say to the person he gave the miracle to.
Tell no one.
Right.
Don't say anything.
It is not my time. Don't do this yet. But in John's Gospel, no messianic secret. Jesus is stepping right up and saying, yeah, that's right. It's me.
Yeah, we've talked about it many times. John isn't going chronologically. He's proving points along the way. And so it's not out of the realm of John's style to put what we might think of as a right before the crucifixion kind of confrontation with the rabbi or with the some sort of confrontation with the church authorities that's going to drive him to the cross.
Right. And the other three, you see that primarily as a Holy Week deal. He shows up on Palm Sunday and then Jesus just really goes toe-to-toe with everybody in authority so that there is no doubt he's going to be executed.
Right. He goads them on almost. Yeah.
But John, he's still a year and a half ahead of time, but he doesn't care.
Right. Okay. All right, then let's move on to 21 through 22. 21, for just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. 22, in addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he is given the Son, absolute authority to judge. Okay, what's he claiming here? Because this is kind of, different than we usually think of it.
Yeah. Jesus is claiming the right to decide who goes to heaven and who doesn't. And you notice that he's very clear. It's not based on you or what you've done. It's based on who I want.
Right.
That was terrifying to those who were doing everything they could to live right according to the rules. Do you mean if I am perfect before the law and you don't want me, I'm not going to heaven? Jesus gets to determine who is worthy. And that's something that terrified the Pharisees, especially because they had proven to themselves, mm-hmm, I am worthy. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I've done it, or I've done more. And so God has no choice. He has to let me in. I have proven I am worthy. And Jesus is going, yeah, worthy is who I want.
Right. Worthy is who I say is worthy.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
you.
Yeah. You know, and they have, we read back in verse, 17, that they've decided, you know, we gotta find a good reason to kill him. And Jesus is basically saying to them, you're all plotting my murder. Guess what? I'm the one who's going to judge you when you die.
Yeah, when it's all going to come back.
Buddy. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Okay, let's move then through 23 through 24. Finish it up. 23, so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who sent them. 24, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from life into death. Okay, so first off, I kind of see this as a rewording of John 3:16.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Same exact, whoever believes in me will
yes
have everlasting life. It's
yeah
just stated a slightly different way, but so now we know what is the key to heaven.
You know, he says, if you don't honor me the way you honor the Father, you're not going to heaven. You don't have eternal life. And that word that he uses for honoring is translated a bunch of different ways in the New Testament. Sometimes it's translated as awe, mm-hmm, holy awe. Sometimes it's translated as reverence, appreciation, fear, and respect for God. Jesus says, that attitude of awe and reverence you have for God the Father, you better have that for me or you're not going to heaven.
Right.
And that's so confrontational to these guys who are telling him, you broke the Sabbath. You claim to be equal to God. We have the right to kill you.
Right.
And then in verse 24, he says something that's really important for everybody, but so easily gets mixed. He says, if you have that fear and awe and reverence for Jesus, eternal life for you has already started.
Right.
You're already in the process. You don't have to wait to die to begin eternal life. You've already started it.
Okay, so what does that really mean? I mean, I think of eternal life after this life, right? It stops, and I've gone into heaven, which is completely different. But is he saying that we've already, okay, let me put it this way. Maybe he's saying we've started taking the walk, if you will. We've started that journey to heaven already.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want forever in heaven to be exactly like life is today, only in heaven?
No.
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 No, you want better, right?
Yeah,
I want to never be sick again. I want to never cry
right
again.
I want to love everybody.
I want to love everybody around me. And Jesus says, guess what? That starts now.
Yeah.
You can have
it if you do it now.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was just trying to suss that out.
Yes.
What does that really mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're right, because if I'm, okay, so I've accepted Jesus as God in this case, and if I start doing like Jesus does,
yeah,
and I start loving everybody more than I do, which, you know,
yeah,
we
yeah
all suffer there. That's taking every day being one step closer, if you will, to getting to heaven.
Yeah.
Right? Do the next right thing.
Yeah.
We used to say is taking that next step towards that beautiful life after this life.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can begin to live that now. It's not going to come naturally to you.
No.
Paul says, no, your body's so full of sin.
Yeah.
You're going to have this massive conflict. You're not going to just be a good guy all overnight. But But we can try.
You can practice for heaven now.
Exactly.
You
know,
you can get the warm-ups out of the way.
Yes.
Get your stretches and get your warm-ups. Okay. That's something I never – you're right. It's usually skipped. I jumped right into the John 3:16 thing.
Yeah.
But there's a deeper statement there about you can start practicing and getting there now.
And most of us miss that. It's a really easy sentence to just move past.
Okay. Anything else on this one?
I would encourage people, if you have a chance, finish out verse 30. If you get the chance, it's still continuing this. Jesus has more to say on this topic. It was too big of a bite for me to preach on Sunday. So I had to stop at verse 24 to keep the sermon reasonable. But next week is Palm Sunday. So we're going to jump ahead to the triumphal entry in John. And a week after that is Easter, and we're going to celebrate Easter. So we're probably done with John.
No, we're just getting started.
We've been here since the first Sunday in December.
But we're only five chapters in. Come on.
So if you're listening, I'd encourage you to read verses 25 through 30 and finish up this discussion that Jesus is having right now with the authorities, because he's still got more to say, and it's good stuff.
There's a whole lot more, John. We need to dig into that too. All right. Yeah, I never really appreciated John until this time through. So
yeah.
Have you given a sermon title yet?
Calling this one Poking the Bear.
Okay.
Oh, now you poked the bear.
So if you'd like to listen to the sermon that Rocky delivers, it'll be on our website at www.pondergmc.org. At the top is the menu called Ministries. Click that, go down to Sermons, look for the sermon Poking the Bear, and this will have been delivered on March 17th, 2024. So we just kind of talked about it, but where are we going next week?
Into Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry.
Okay.
I think that's chapter 12, I believe.
Okay. We've been talking about father and son relationships tonight, so I kind of thought I'd leave you with some parenting advice from David Frost. Having one child makes you a parent. Having two makes you a referee. And with that, I think we'll close this episode. This is Ken Corkins and Rocky Ellis reminding you to love God and be nice to people.
Thanks for tuning in. You can find us at www.pondergmc.org. There, you can watch our live stream services, listen to replays of Rocky's sermons, and find other interesting information about us. This has been Pondering the Bible.